You know, I don't know about you, but it is good to be together. I really enjoy coming together, and I enjoy coming together. You know, even as we social distance, it's great to come together. I'm so glad that we can come together to worship and to be together. And whether you're here in this sanctuary here, out on the front lawn, or whether you're live streaming, thank you so much. And I'm glad that we have this opportunity, because worshiping together, it really evokes and empowers an experience that is very unique. Very unique, coming together. It gives us courage. It gives us, as I've spoken about, it refreshes us. Sometimes it reignites us or ignites us. It gives us strength, and it gives us the opportunity to be together. But it motivates us, or gives us, sometimes it maybe I could say it just grounds us also, and gives us a foundation of a place where we know we're working from. And that's why I have to worship on a regular basis. It's so important to do it on a regular basis, because it keeps me grounded. So no matter what method or how you're joining us, I'm so glad that you're with us today, whether you're on the lawn, in person, or live streaming. Thank you so much for joining us. And I think you'll be glad you joined us as well. You know, this is September. I couldn't believe it when I flipped the calendar, and this is September. What a summer it has been. I guess I could say what a year it has been. Very unique, without a doubt, right? What a unique year we've had. And maybe I should put it out and say, what will you remember most? What will you remember most? And I'm not just spurring some thoughts here. What will you remember most? What have you learned? What have you learned through what we have been through? You know, one of the surprising revelation that I've recognized is during even the shutdown, when things were really shut down, but even during the reopening, and as we're moving ahead, I've been kind of surprised, because to me, it shut down and being quiet, and sometimes even just having to, you know, I'll say sit, or what was that, stay at home stuff, I thought, well, that would be like just sitting, reading a book, putting my feet up in front of the fireplace. But one of the things I discovered about all of this experience is how wearing it has been, how tiring it has been, to some extent even exhausting. And it kind of doesn't fit, because it's like, well, maybe we're not doing as much, but it is exhausting. So maybe you're at a place right now where you're feeling fatigued. I know I felt that a few weeks ago. I was just at that place where I was feeling absolutely just fatigued. And it is because, psychologically, it's because we've hit a point where we've experienced so many changes. So much has been uncertain. So much has been so different that we are not used to, that it saps our energy. I mean, let's face it, most of us would like to wake up tomorrow and just have what has passed be the past, you know, and just move on. Let's get back to something else. But fatigue, one of the things fatigue does, and I suspect you've seen this in various places, maybe in the grocery store, maybe in your workplace, maybe in going back to school, if you're back in school or about to go back to school, maybe you've seen this. But one of the things that fatigue does is it actually fosters impatience. You know, and it to the point where it can make us very impatient, and we can actually be done with patience. It's like, I've had enough. Have you reached a point maybe where you've said, I've had enough, right? I've had enough of that. So just out of curiosity, how many experts in patience do we have here, just physically here or out on the front line? Anybody, we have any experts in patience? I didn't think so. Okay, I'm not either, by the way, by any chance. So I just want to say that this will be helpful for you, because I want to talk about patience that leads to and gives us perseverance, because that's what patience really does. It lets us build to perseverance. And the truth is, if you want to be better at life, we all need more patience. Because people, there's something about us that we tend to be impatient, right? Now, I want to be patient, so I tend to be so impatient that I just want to jump ahead. So we could just do that, but I'm going to wait. And when I think about the past few months, I'm really proud of our church family who for so many of you, have been using real wisdom, thinking about what is best for your family, your circumstance, because each one of us has our own set of personal circumstance, our family circumstance and situation. So we've been dealing with it accordingly. I'm so proud of our church family and how we've been dealing and walking through this and done so together and continue to do so together, caring and being compassionate and respectful for one another. It's a big deal. And when our patients are wearing thin, this is where it can be very difficult. It can be really difficult. Now, the neat thing is, or the good thing is, at least the way I look at it is, we're not the first ones who have had to deal with being impatient or having our lives turned upside down or our routines turned upside down and having to figure out what to do because so many things are changing in our lives. There have been people that have done this before, and I'm going to go back to the book of James, which is one of the letters that was written by the apostle James, who was a follower of Jesus. And he did not become a follower of Jesus, of course, until after he saw the resurrected Jesus. And he was the one who was the brother of Jesus. I'm not going to go to that one, but anyways, I'll just leave it at that. So I'm going to go to that because James wrote this letter to a group of friends that he had that were in a place where their lives had been turned upside down. They had lost most everything. Some had lost their careers. Some had lost their homes. Some had lost everything. And he wrote to them as an encouragement, and I believe it's an encouragement for us as well. So I want to pick up in James. And it's a great book to read. It's about 108 verses long, so it's a great book if you want to read. We're going to focus in on just a few verses this morning from James chapter 5, verses 7 through 11. So if you'll follow along with me, that would be great if you'd do that. So James chapter 5, verse 7 through 11. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and the spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. You know, learning to be patient is important. Because, have you noticed, life is full of waiting. If you want to have some fun, or maybe it'll be depressing, Google waiting and how long we wait for things as human beings. I'll just give you a couple. This is kind of entertaining for me. The average person will spend, in their lifetime, 43 days on hold. 43 days on hold, the average person in your lifetime, and you may say, I've already hit that quota, right? Maybe you've already hit there. The average person in their lifetime, we will spend, you and I will spend 10 years waiting in line. No wonder why my feet hurt. What about waiting, sometimes waiting for a meal? Now, I'm not going to get into, I should probably just start cooking or anything, but one of the things I've noticed about waiting for a meal or when I'm getting ready for a meal or something like that, I've discovered that I get impatient because when I'm really hungry, I get that hunger thing that happens and then I get impatient. And I think there's a new word for it. It's called, what is it? Hangry, right? I never knew that word even existed, but hangry, that hunger, angry thing where all of a sudden I get pretty grumpy. When I get really hungry, I've discovered that about myself. I don't know if I've done it all my life, and if I have, I'm sorry for my family and everyone else, because I'm sorry. But when we're waiting, right now we're waiting, perhaps you're waiting for things to open up completely or certain places to open up. Who likes to wait? Is there anybody who likes to wait, by the way? Anybody out on the front lawn that likes to wait? Okay, that's what I thought. So it's important that we learn to be patient. It's important that we learn and have, I'm going to call it coping skills, which all of us have some skills right now, or we just push through it, however we do it. I hope today you will just be empowered and maybe given some other skills to help you wait, to help you when you are feeling that you're getting impatient. Now, because I'm an impatient person, I was going to just rush to the end of this, but did you get that? Anyways, you have to explain it. It's no good. Anyways, so I want to learn to be patient. I want to take some steps with you. I want to walk through this and say, it's so important to learn to be patient. And as I say, I need to continue to learn to be patient, even with where I am today. I need to continue to learn this. Because patience builds perseverance. Perseverance will strengthen your life, strengthen your faith, and it will relieve stress. It'll relieve anxiety, actually. Patience builds perseverance, making you better at life, giving you greater confidence. James teaches us how to develop patience, how to build perseverance. And he uses examples here. He uses farmers, he uses prophets, and then he uses Job in these very verses that I just read. James tells us what to remember while we're waiting, and how do you trust God while you're waiting. So let's look at this. Patience. Patience actually gives you courage when circumstances are uncontrollable. That's what patience will do for you. That's why it's important to build patience, to build that perseverance, because it will give you courage when circumstances are uncontrollable. Has anybody hit uncontrollable circumstances in the last 6 months? Everybody can raise your hand, right? Right. And maybe you're facing some uncontrollable circumstances right now. Maybe there's some things before you that in this day or in this very week you already know that are going to be uncontrollable, and you're wondering about, how am I going to handle that situation in the workplace? Or how am I going to handle that situation in school? Or how is that going to go? I don't know how it's going to go, but I'm moving forward into that direction. Circumstances that may be related to the pandemic, or they might be related to other things, maybe family things, maybe relationships. Maybe you're wondering, or you have to deal with, or uncontrollable things that we deal with all the time or regularly. Are other people's reactions, other people's actions that we have to deal with? We have no control over those things. A great deal of life is beyond your control. It's beyond my control. And James uses the farmer as such a great illustration here. He says, if you look at your notes, it says, see how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crops, patiently waiting for the autumn and the spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm. You know, I learned a great deal staying on. I stayed, vacationed on a farm, a big farm of some friends that we have. And we were walking in their soybean field, and it just went on for as far as you could see type of thing, right? I mean, huge. But here's the thing about, one of the things I learned about it, which James is talking about here, when you plant the seeds, you have to wait patiently for the rain to come. Farmers have so many uncontrollable factors, right? The weather, the health of their product, the economy. Here's one of the things. I was with my friend, and we're in the truck, and we're taking the animals to the market, and we had a whole bunch of animals in the truck going to the market, and we're listening to the radio broadcast, and all of a sudden the radio news broadcast comes on, and it says, as of this morning, there was a significant decrease in the purchase price of the animal that we're about to take to market. Multiply that times 60. Wow. I looked at my friend and I said, do you ever just like turn around at the next exit and go back home? And I'll tell you what, his response to me was a fabulous illustration of his faith in God. He said, you know what? I do the best I can with what I've been given, and I trust God. He said, if I ran home at every change, at everything that was uncomfortable, that I wasn't sure how it was going to work out, if I ran home every time, I would never get anywhere. When I do the best that I can with what I've been given, when I trust God, he said, I have always been blessed. Human nature is to try to control the uncontrollable. And as a matter of fact, the way to know that you're trying to control the uncontrollable is to think about what you're worrying about. How often do you worry about what you have no control over? that thing that wakes you up in the middle of the night and you're all of a sudden thinking about it. And if you think, what can I do to influence that? Or is there anything I can control? Is that really a good use of your time and your energy and your emotion? How do you deal with that? I turn it over to God. I say, okay, God, you take this now. There's nothing I can do for it. I name it, and then I give it to God. Because if I'm trying to control everything in my life, everything that comes my way, what does that really say about my or your faith and what we understand about God? James tells us that the farmer doesn't control the uncontrollable. The farmer waits. The farmer trusts that when the circumstances are uncontrollable, she's trusting God. Maybe the question that you could wrestle with today or this week is, what is preventing you from trusting God when circumstances are beyond your control? What gets in the way? What keeps you from trusting God when circumstances are beyond your control? Patience gives us courage when we're facing the uncontrollable. And patience will also give us confidence when truth is unpopular. He says in verse 10, brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets. We're going to talk about the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. They persevered. The prophets persevered. You know, popularity, sometimes we think if something is really, if it's making the news headline, it's saying this is something, popularity, we sometimes assume or we bring on that perception, because it's popular, the perception becomes it must be true. It must be right. But that is so not true. I think about history. There was a popular perception at one era in history that prevented women from voting. It prevented women from holding office or jobs that would be leadership jobs. That was a popular perception. Was it right? No. There was a popular perception that said when someone is different from what we, whoever that we was, whether it was the color of their skin or their nationality or where they came from, that they were second-rate people. Is that true? Is that really true? No. See, popular opinion does not authenticate making something true or making something right. But the thing is, we want to hear what we want to hear. We want to be comfortable, and we want to be part of the group. We want to be part of the crowd. See, verse 10 here, he's talking about the prophets. Now, we need to know a little bit about prophets. If you know something about prophets, prophets were the ones who spoke for God. Prophets spoke the truth for God, whether it was popular or whether it wasn't popular. If you want to read some stories about some prophets, some people that faced some really extraordinary times that were really difficult and different circumstances that sometimes ended their lives, the prophets are a place to start and to read. See, because prophets spoke the truth, God's truth, whether it was popular or not. The truth is the truth. We count as blessed, meaning that we have seen, we can look back in history and we can see that those who honored God spoke the truth of God. The duty of prophets was to help people live and behave, speak and live in a way that honors God, which is actually the way that our lives thrive. It takes us to that point of thriving instead of just existing. And in history, we look back, prophets tended to show up when change was needed, when people needed to hear the truth, whether it was popular or not. Prophets. Again, who likes change? Right, very few people actually like and embrace change. Most of us like to keep it very predictable. Whatever's going to happen, let's keep it predictable. I like that. I realized about a week ago, I've had the same breakfast for so many days in a row. I mean, that's just right. Change introduces uncertainty, and it tends to make us uncomfortable. Therefore, the prophets had to be patient because truth is not always popular. People don't like change. Right? I've learned that as a pastor, pastors have to be patient. And it's something that, believe me, I'm working on. Because often what we're talking about, what we're learning about, what we're growing into, it may not be popular, but it is the best for you. And I found when I live this way, according to God's way, it makes my life so much better. And I know what it feels like to go through change. I've changed habits. I've changed hangouts that were very popular, but they weren't best. They weren't the places I should be. They weren't the way or behaving the way that is good for my life to thrive. If I'm willing to hear the truth, I can hear the truth. And the truth will set you free. But if I'm unwilling to hear the truth, to change, I'm the one that misses out. God has something better for all of us. When we're putting up that wall that says, I don't want change, I don't want to hear, when we think the perception of popularity is the truth, we need to look and just say, wait a minute, is that really the truth? The truth. Even if it's facing the truth and the truth is making us uncomfortable, the truth is still the truth. Ephesians 4:15 says, speak the truth in love. And that simply means that's a pastor's call. That's a call for all Christians, all people who are following Jesus, just to say, how do I speak the truth in love? Meaning care, compassionately, but to stay in the truth and to speak the truth, helping one another to become more like Jesus. Perhaps if you think yourself, when was the last time someone spoke the truth into your life? Maybe they spoke something to you and you knew, but it made you uncomfortable. Right? Maybe they talked about the language that you're using or the vocabulary you're using, or they asked you something about the screen time, or how are you spending your time, or who are you spending your time with? Maybe, and they're asking out of truth and out of love. But sometimes that makes us feel uncomfortable. But it doesn't make it any less the truth. It's still the truth. Sometimes the truth is unpopular, but it's still true. You know, the Greek word for patience is macrothemia, which I probably butchered that. I didn't do a good job with it. But it's the English word, macrothemia is the word that we originate and we get the English word thermometer from. Thermometer is something that measures the temperature, right? We're all getting very familiar with that. If you've been to a doctor office recently, they, you know, check your temperature on your forehead, and it's kind of like a weird thing. But anyways, thermometers measure our temperature. Temperatures, you ever notice, they change pretty slowly, usually, over time. It takes patience. Right? I mean, I'm thinking of even seasons to change, right? I don't know about you, but when I hit about February 10th or 12th, man, I am so ready for spring. But I have to be patient, and I have to wait for that change. Is there something right now that you're waiting to change, that you're just kind of chomping at the bit, that you want to see change? Maybe it's something. Maybe it's someone. I just want to remind you, change takes time. And maybe that someone is you. Change takes time. Be patient. Be patient. You know, to be successful in relationships, 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, verse 4, is so great because it simply says, the first thing it says is love is patient. Love is patient. The first characteristic of love is patience. Patience. That will build every relationship and support every relationship. What does patience look like? While you're waiting, when there are delays, when you're going through things that you don't want to go through, what do you do? A popular thing to do while we're waiting, I don't know, have you noticed this? A popular thing to do while we're waiting is to grumble. Grumble, grumble. I'm standing in the grocery line, and I know we're 6 feet apart, so you can hardly talk to anybody. Anyways, but you're standing in the grocery line, and what happens? All of a sudden, it's very popular to start grumbling. Oh, my gosh. Oh, And then usually that grumbling and complaining, who's it getting directed to? Usually the poor cashier who's working as hard as he or she can, trying to get things done and get things through, right? But that's where we focus our grumbling and complaining, which is really useless. And if we're grumbling and complaining in other places because of frustration or things that have happened in our lives or not happening, and we're waiting and we're getting really impatient with those things, we're grumbling and complaining, and we're usually bringing that out and grumbling and complaining at the very family members that we love the most and probably have nothing to do with anything that has to do with those circumstances, but we're still grumbling and complaining at them. Don't grumble and complain, James says. Be patient. Love is patient. As followers of Jesus, we need to be patient, and we need to learn this. So this is a great Sunday, a great time, a great thing to learn. Because there are going to be times where we, as followers of Jesus, need to stand for the truth. You may need to speak up for the truth. Do so in love and with love, even when it's not popular. We need patience when the circumstances aren't controllable, when truth is unpopular. Be patient and love one another. And then patience will also give us strength. It'll give us perseverance and strength when life is unexplainable. Have you ever hit anything, any time in life that was unexplainable? How about the last 5 months? But, right? James, his example here that he uses, again, he pulled in the farmer, he pulled in the prophets. Now he's going to say, let's look at Job. Let's look at Job, this character who his story is in the Old Testament. If you want to read through it, it's a great story. But I will tell you, the middle, I think it's 32 or 37 chapters, wow, are pretty depressing. Everything gets turned upside down. James says this, you've heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. Because he's saying, we get to Monday morning quarterback when we see what happened with Job. Right, we get to see what happened, and then we get to see the whole process. In one day, Job, everything changed for Job. He lost everything. He lost his work, he lost his business, he lost his livestock, he lost his food supply, he lost his family. He lost everything except his wife, who, by the way, held the popular opinion of his friends, which was, hey, Job, just curse God and die. How about that advice? That was the popular opinion that they were holding. But yet Job, even though he's facing the unexplainable, he held on and said, who is in control? Job revered God and served God. Job was actually very patient through this. Oh, he lamented. And again, if you read through that story, the 37 chapters in the middle, you're going to find, oh man, he went back and forth. Well, wouldn't you? But he served God. And he held on for God. You know, Jesus said, in this life you will have trouble. One of the things we need to grasp is life is not fair. That's just the truth. That's the truth. Life is not fair. As blessed as our lives are, they're not perfect. Life is not fair. There are injustices in the world, and that really reveals the brokenness of the world, right? We can see the brokenness of the world. Look at the virus. Look at the violence. The brokenness of the world is revealed in all of what we have experienced, the pandemic, the protests, the brokenness of the world. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. But he also said, I will be with you to the end of the age. I will be with you forever, and you are to continue to teach and obey everything that I've commanded. He said that all the way through. So what should we do? What should we do when we encounter difficulties, when pain and problems come that they're unexplainable, we don't know how to deal with them? What should we do when you experience confusion and uncertainty? Wait on God. And while you wait on God, here's what can equip you to have patience that will give you perseverance. When things take longer than you expect, how often is that? All the time. I stand in front of the microwave waiting. I mean, I don't know about you. When things take longer than you expect, when you're waiting, what do you do? Remember, just remind yourself, God is in control. Look at history. God has been in control all of that time. There's so much in the world that, frankly, I don't understand. There's so much in the world I don't understand and that I don't even know about, but yet I do know that God is in control. You know, when we come to the Last Supper, we're about to have communion together in just a few minutes. Communion is the celebration of what God, through Jesus, did for us and will do with us. It celebrates Jesus' arrival in Bethlehem and his sacrifice. Communion affirms that Jesus overcame death and sin, that God has power over everything that this earth might happen to have or people on this planet might have. Communion celebrates the promise that Jesus is coming again. That's partly why we do it, to remember the past and to look to the future. Communion holds those things. And James, in these few verses, he says three times, he says, until the Lord comes. He's referring to Jesus coming again. The Lord is coming near. Or the Lord's coming is near. I'm sorry, the Lord's coming is near. And then also he says, don't grumble because the judge is standing at the door, referring again to God coming. Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. Now, the thing we have to keep in mind is James is reminding us that God is in control, no matter what is going on, and that Jesus is coming back. We could use that phrase that this is not just history, it is his story. It's his story. You know, history itself, I sometimes think history and life, it's like a big circle and it just goes round and round and round. That's not true at all. That's true for perhaps environmental things where, you know, things happen in the environment and there's a cycle in the environment. But that's not true with life, with humans. History is linear. It is moving to a climax. We can see this in life. We see this in history. We can see this in history. We learn it through reading the book called the Bible. You can see it. And you know, this may not be empowering to you, but when I think about my life and I think about all of history, I'm just like one little chapter, or maybe a paragraph, or maybe a line in all of history. Now we see dimly, but then we will see fully when we see all of his story. The day of the Lord is coming when Jesus will return. And God only knows when. Jesus even said that. God is the only one who knows. The point that James is making here is that whatever you're going through, it might be difficult, it might be excruciating, it might be unpopular, but nothing is beyond God's control. So be patient, because God's timing, his timing is perfect. God is in control. Remember that. And remember that in all things, God is working for those who love him. God is at work. God is at work. The prophet Jeremiah said, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." God is working. Hey, how many of you have planted a seed back in April or such? Did you plant any plants in the backyard or around? A couple people planted, I see. Yes. So if you've ever planted a seed, right, you take a seed and you plant it into the dirt, you push it down a little bit, and then you pour some water on it. And then you cannot see what's going on. It just stays there. Maybe you move that little planter over to the sunshine and get it positioned so the sun will hit it just right and that it will come to fruition and be beautiful like it's designed to be. But there is a little while where there is nothing going on. It's just dirt. And you can't see in there. You don't know what's happening. But you're trusting that something is happening. You're trusting that God is at work, doing what God designed that seed to do. this is so important for us to remember when we're waiting. We might be waiting for a health concern. We might be praying for someone who's dealing with a difficult issue, for a relationship. Maybe we're praying for a child or a brother or a sister or a friend. The farmer, it's so neat because it teaches us that delay is not denial. The delay is not the denial. Farmers plant the seed and then they wait. And then seed is designed in such a purposefully way. You can't see what's going on. You can't see underground, but that seed all of a sudden spurts. Isn't that so cool when you see it start to come up and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, look at that. And you probably told a few people, you said, oh, my tomatoes plant, you know, all of a sudden it's like. But all that time, you didn't see immediate results. So when we don't see immediate results, don't assume that God is absent. God is in control. God is working. So keep praying. Continue to be obedient. The Apostle Paul said, "For it is God who works in you and will act accordingly to fulfill his purposes." God's plan for you is plans to prosper, plans for you to do well. God offers you a hope and a bright future. Is there something that is in the way of you receiving, and walking into God's plans for you? Maybe it's fear. Fear can hold us back, can restrict us. Maybe it's popular opinion. Comfort can hold us back. Laziness, pride. What holds you back? What makes you wonder, is God still working, or causes you to question that? Remember, God is still in control. God is working. In James verse 11 of chapter 5, he says this, "As you know, we count as being blessed those who have persevered. You have heard Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." You know, remember, while you're waiting, remember that God rewards patience. The prophets here, there are many, many blessings in life. And being patient brings blessings. There are many rewards. You know, when you're patient, some of the rewards that come from being patient is patience actually builds character. Patience brings about appreciation. Patience, when you're patient, it actually helps you. Very often, if you're patient, you may notice that you avoided mistakes that you might have made if you rushed right into something. Being patient helps us reach goals. Being patient will give you stronger and better relationships. Galatians 6:9, and maybe this speaks to how you're feeling right now. Because he starts off by saying, "Let us not become weary." Oh my goodness, are you tired? Maybe it's just that time where you just go, "Oh, I am so tired. I'm so weary." Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, this is what we have to remember. This is what we have to keep in mind. For at the proper time in doing good, the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, what is the opportunity that lies before you today and this week? Let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the believers, the followers of Jesus. There are blessings in time of uncertainty. In times of waiting, there are blessings. What have you noticed? I've asked this question previously, but what have you noticed that you've been blessed with in the recent weeks, months, this very year, that you are totally perhaps surprised by, or what the uncertain circumstances and the unwanted circumstances maybe put you under pressure or put you in a place where you didn't want to be, but all of a sudden you noticed some things happen. And you noticed, for instance, that your family was growing closer, that you were in better communication with some of your friends or relatives. You were Zooming with them, or you never had done Zoom, or maybe you're in a Bible study and you're in a life group that you're now connecting with people like you never have before. I've noticed that. I've noticed our church family is actually stronger and has grown closer together, as well as stronger reaching out to each other and encouraging one another. That's something that's happened, that has happened in this time frame. Fortunately, we have examples, and we can look back at history, the recent history, we can look back at just a few days, and we can see how this builds, how we can build patience. So when we look back, we can say, well, how does? Let me give you some examples. I'm just going to use the three from this passage about the farmer, about the prophet, and about Job. Right? How does a farmer, building patience, be like a farmer? Wait expectantly. Wait expectantly. Remember, I was talking about that seed. The farmer plants the seed. They fill a whole field, acres and acres and hundreds of acres of seed. They don't go home and sit on their porch and just, you know, drink iced tea. The farmer, like you, is preparing. Think about it like this. Maybe we could connect with this more because I didn't grow up around farming, so that was a very different concept for me. I didn't get all of the waiting and preparing, all the work that was done. I didn't see our friends. I mean, they hardly ever sat down. They just kept going. So for me, I was thinking, what was it for us, maybe in our family, that I saw that I just went, wow, that really changed things. Waiting expectantly, what is that like? Well, let's think about this. If you've had a baby, if you've been pregnant, or maybe even families, right? Families, dads, families who have been expecting, you do so by preparing. And you prepare physically, right? You prepare a place, you maybe do something in a room, you get a crib ready, all the things that have to, you prepare emotionally, considering on how this little blessing is going to change your life, and baby, does it change your life, right? Yeah, spiritually, you're preparing, you're praying for health, you're praying for wisdom. Right now, in this time, in this era, in this right now with what's going on, but more importantly, where you are in life, right now, what are you waiting for God to do? Right now, what are you waiting for God to do? And while you're waiting for God to do this, what are you doing to prepare? Because, you know, sometimes what I've discovered is I think I'm waiting for God, but I discover that God is really waiting for me. Those who hope in the Lord will not be disappointed. Patience is built by waiting expectantly, expectantly. The prophets give us that example. The farmer. And then the prophets give us the example of waiting without complaining. Waiting without complaining. Again, James said it this way, don't grumble. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters. Avoid grumbling. Avoid grumbling. Waiting is not getting permission to complain. If we're not paying attention, waiting can lead to complaining. And complaining leads to destruction. Patience is built by waiting and waiting without complaining. I admired so much someone that was in a waiting line, and someone turned and they started making all these compliments about, instead of complaining, about how the poor cashier had so much to do and was so slow, and they were complimenting their work. I thought, what a way to go. What a way to go. Instead of complaining, compliment. Prophets, that's what prophets were doing. They were leading us and saying, don't complain, but rather look at what God wants you to do. And then think of Job. Think of Job for a minute. He's the one that lost everything, and he waited confidently. There was a confidence in Job that kept him from going all those roads that could have led him down different ways. There was a confidence in Job that kept him from joining on the popular wagon of opinion or perception. Right, verse 11 says, you have heard of Job's perseverance. Perseverance. Lord, may you give us all perseverance of Job. And have seen what the Lord, and this is the cool part, what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Job had perseverance. Job modeled this. When he didn't have an explanation for what was going on, what was happening, He didn't have an explanation for his pain, for his hurt. Job waited confidently. The original Greek word for that word that we translate into perseverance, to wait, Job waited, is actually a word that means stand fast, stand firm, expect, stand expectantly. Job experienced unexplainable and unbearable pain. And yet he stood and he turned to God. He stood on the foundation of God. And he stood there and depended on God, who is in control, rather than grumble and complain or retaliate. Job believed that God was working all the while, and that God was steadfast and faithful. And in the end of Job's story, the neat thing is we get to see what happened. Job was restored and then some. God rewarded him mightily for his faithfulness. Sometimes the greatest act of faith is to wait. Isaiah 40:31, it's a passage that I just love, I think because it's probably because I've needed it, and I do need it. But those who trust, and that word can mean hope, it can mean wait, those who trust and hope and wait in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Keep in mind, when pain is unbearable, when circumstances are unexplainable, it's time to be patient and wait on God. Where do you need patience? Take some of these things and write them down, or hopefully you've written them down. Remind yourself, God is in control. God continues to work. Whether you see God at work or not, think of the seed. God is continuing to work. And God has a plan and a purpose for your life. No matter what age and stage you are in, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. God is with you, and God will reward you. Think of Job, will reward you, especially when you have patience. Because we are all part of his story. His story. May God bless us, and may we stay faithful and follow him. Let's pray together. Dear God, I give you thanks for simply being with us. And sometimes, Lord, thank you for just putting up with me. So I know there's days where you must think, wow. And there's days that you probably laugh at what I'm doing, how I'm doing it, or that I need to remind myself, or I need a reminder that you are still working, that you are still active, that you are still very much doing things in people's lives. So Lord, help me to come back to and to acknowledge that you are the one who is in control. That in this life we will have difficulty. And I think of Jesus himself, who came and walked on the earth, and he faced incredible difficulty. And then he went to the very cross, which was excruciating. But yet it was all within your plan and your purpose. Lord, help us to have the faith that is patient when we need to wait, that will build our courage for perseverance, and that will guide us and give us what we need when we need it. Help us to look to you, Lord, and depend on you as our Lord and our Savior. And I just pray all of this in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen. You know, as Jesus was here on earth, and it's recorded for us that he communicated and he demonstrated over and over all of these things about God, that God is at work, that God is in control, that God, think of the statements that he made to Pilate and to others. You can't do anything that God hasn't already set in motion. What's in our life that's like that? Jesus gave us elements to remember him, gave us elements to give us strength, so that when we are enduring difficulty, we come to the table that we call the communion table. And we remind ourselves of what Jesus, what God endured for us. And we come to this table. And each one of you who have your communion elements, be it a bread if you're at home and some juice, or for us here, the bread and the juice are signs, they're symbols of what God has given up for each one of us. The bread, Jesus said, is the body, his body, broken for the forgiveness of your sins and for mine. The blood is represented through the cup that says he's offering us a new, we call it covenant, an agreement, a new covenant of life with Jesus Christ, eternally as well as here and now. Because this is just a moment of our life, and we have an eternity to live with God in heaven as followers of Jesus Christ. So as we come and as we share this, I pray that this bread and this cup would be a blessing to you, would be a reminder to God's presence in your life right now, no matter what is happening. That it would be an encouragement to you and would give you confidence of God's love for you. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he lifted it and he broke the bread. And he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. As often as you gather together and eat of this bread and drink of this cup, do so in remembrance of him." Receive the bread of Christ. And in like fashion, he took the cup. And he lifted the cup and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, the cup which is poured out for the forgiveness of your sins, so that you can enter into eternity with my Father." And that time starts from the moment we say yes to Jesus. We can take all our cares, all the things we're anxious about, we can cast them on him. Be responsible and walk with him obediently. But he's offering us forgiveness for today and for every day. He's offering us love, and he's offering us assurance of life with him. So ministering to you in the name of Jesus Christ, I invite you to share with me in receiving this cup of the new covenant in Jesus Christ. Lord God, I give you thanks. I thank you that you gave us such basic elements. The bread and the cup. You use such ordinary symbols that became extraordinary to show us your love and your passion for us, to show us your forgiveness, and to show us how to live. So, Lord, I just pray that as we go from here, that we would go knowing that we are forgiven, that we are loved, that we have a life because of you. And Lord, help us to stand fast in your truth, in your love, and let us be compassionate and loving. And I pray this through your Son, Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. Amen.